EEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Should have been a baseball game. It's not raining out yet.
No.
Okay. No. They'll play it tomorrow afternoon.
Hope it rains.
At 2:10, they'll play that game tomorrow afternoon.
It's going to be glorious.
Yeah.
I get to wake up. I have two Christmases. Hope this one doesn't get canceled.
Do you have to rewash that uniform? Did you get it all sweaty today? Just running around the house?
No. It was. Right. I was only in for like a couple hours until I got the word.
So tell me, I don't understand why people are against the National Football League expanding from 16 to 17 games with the possibility of going to 18. So I heard Rich Keefe saying that. Does he say that about like Marvel movies when they come out? Oh, they're making too many. No, too many of these superhero movies. They got to stop doing this.
No, Marvel, no, he loves it.
So what's the problem with it?
I don't have a problem with it.
If you don't want to watch it, you don't have to watch it. But the National Football League obviously is doing it because they have more network money coming in. And so therefore, it's business. They're bringing in more business, so they want to expand it. So I don't understand anybody being against it.
I understand, I guess, the player's side of it and what the NFL keeps claiming about, like, all we care about is your safety, and yet really all you really care about is money. But I'm not a player in the league. I'm a fan. I get to watch more football. Fantasy football goes for another week.
Yep.
Get to gamble on more football.
Yep.
Like, just give me more football. I'm good. Get rid of an extra preseason game. Give me a game that matters. I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what they're doing. Now, I understand the players, and I think it's laughable that Roger Goodell, listen to this, he insists that it's not going to be more dangerous for the players.
It's not more games. We're still within the 20-game format. That was something that was important to the NFLPA, and that was part of the structure of our CBA. What we're looking to do here is taking the data, and actually the data, the highest rate of injury is actually in a preseason. Actually doing is actually following the data, following the science, sort of make sure that we're doing things both from a health and safety standpoint as well as seeking always to get better in every way.
Here's the faulty science. Here's the faulty science on that. Faulty science, and I'll give you the real science on that. More players are injured in the early part of the season than they are in the latter part of the season. We don't know where the 17th game is going to fall. It's going to fall into different spots in different schedules. So he's kind of being a little bit disingenuous. But you guys tell me, we're talking about the real football players. We're not talking about the 90 guys on a roster and the guys from 70 on in the roster get to play in that fourth preseason game. We're talking about the real players. There's a huge difference between real players playing in a regular season game and the guys that are scrubs that weren't going to make the roster who are playing in an extra preseason game.
All I know is if I heard him say, we're all in this together and we got to flatten the curve, I would have been done. I would have been out.
Yeah. So, okay, we talk about science, right? Goodell
science
is basic. So I have some information
for you. Take that for data.
So, experts.
So, because we're talking about injuries and we're talking about COVID and talking about multiple games, and Goodell's talking about, listen, I've looked at the numbers and I'm going to base my decisions on science and history and numbers and percentages. So I went to the NFLPA site and there was an article just written about just kind of what we're talking about. So just start off with this. So there was a missed time injuries. You know, we always talk about the quickest way for a player to lose his job is missing time. You know, so they're highly motivated. And over the past 5 years, the average number of missed time injuries annually for all NFL teams was over 3,500. For the 2020 season, the number of missed time injuries decreased to 2,700. So right off the bat, bam, they're doing a better job. Maybe it's because they weren't practicing because of COVID, but that may be part of it. They don't mention that.
Yeah, they get injured in practice.
A 30% reduction in concussions. That's good news. That's a big number. That's real. Let me see. Where else? Lower extremity strains, they fell within a five-year average. So about normal. Then you talk about how guys get hurt early in the year. So the NFL did see a number of, like, a spike in ACL tears around week two of the season. However, it was similar to different, you know, week one spikes in previous years. So, and then there was also a 45% decrease in heart-related illnesses. Everybody's healthy now. So ultimately, like this, maybe the players are just overreacting for no reason, because the data shows that the coaches and the league are doing as much as possible to protect them. And if all your injuries, a majority of your injuries are coming that first week, and we can all relate it to this week because nobody was practicing, you knew there would be some injuries just based on the fact that guys weren't, you know, going at full speed. I would sit there because initially I didn't believe it. I was like, no, this guy's full of crap. But the numbers don't lie.
So maybe they're reacting or overreacting to the fact that the most money that they can make by playing an additional game is $250,000. And if you're looking at some guys in that league, that's below what they normally get on a given Sunday. So I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. I will say this. Again, I don't understand why a fan or anybody in the media would be against the 17-game season. Why wouldn't you want more games? And by the way, get ready for 18 now. People are saying, well, they have a collective bargaining agreement that they just signed that's good for the next 10 years, and so therefore they're not going to do anything with that. Oh, really? What happens when all of the gambling money in every single state, maybe even Massachusetts, Mutt, gets involved in the gambling aspect of it, and there's a whole new pool of revenue stream that's pouring in? The players want a piece of that, and you go to the players that I tell you what, we'll give you a piece of the gambling money, but we want an 18th game, and we'll have two preseason, and we'll have 18 regular season games.
Well, isn't that
it won't
next
take
question?
10 years for it to happen.
Isn't that the next question, though? I mean, it was 17 games. I mean, 17. Got to have 18, right?
That's what they want. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, now this is the next question. Like, when's 18 coming? You know what, 17 games?
Well, nice 18 is coming. Number. 18 is coming.
Yeah, you need a nice little even number. You don't play 161.
Well, here's what COVID has done, though. And I would
play
say
162.
This is a good thing for players.
Games.
So players, what COVID did is show that you don't have to practice. You don't have to go to OTAs. You don't have to run around. You can show up in camp and have limited practice time and have no issues. And it proved, for the players' sake, that the NFL and these teams do not need to have these guys around. They don't need to put them in an 8-week, 10-week lifting program, running program. They don't need to do it. They don't need to have like a football school. Have it for the young kids. They also don't need to have these long, because I'm for practicing. But what last year showed me is that you don't need to practice as much as you think you do.
Yeah, Zoom.
Like, it just doesn't. Zoom it. You know, stay at home. Hop on your treadmill. And because the numbers prove, like, even I talked about those lower extremity strains, you know, fell within a 5-year average. Those are hamstrings, quad pulls,
growing
pulls, all those things that the NFL players are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, we can't do this, man. I don't pull a hamstring. I haven't been running full speed. But sure enough, fell within a normal average from 2019, 2018, 2017. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they're bitching and complaining about. And you know the guys who are bitching and complaining? The Alvin Kamaras of the world?
Yeah.
The guys that look at no data whatsoever. They just read and react. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They want us to do more, and they're paying us less. Well, you have an issue there, you know, based on the compensation that they're going to give you for an extra game. That I would bitch and moan about. Like, everybody benefits. Everybody. Rookies benefit. That middle ground guys, those older veterans that usually get pushed out of the league. I would say bigger rosters.
Well, there's more money in the pool because of the TV rights money that's popping in, and that's going to raise the salary cap number, and each individual team is going to be able to spend more money on players. So I don't see where the downfall is anywhere. Lloyd in Worcester apparently thinks it's not ideal. Why not, Lloyd? Why isn't it ideal?
Hey, good afternoon, OMF. Great show.
Hey, thanks.
By the way, real quickly, I want to console you on the loss of your baseball game this afternoon. I love baseball, too, and I really think somebody's going to be in the hot seat for calling this game today.
Well, just giving it to you tomorrow.
So it's kind of like
Lloyd, I'm in the acceptance phase right now of this whole thing, and I'm just excited to wake up tomorrow and have opening day again.
Top of the fifth.
Why do you have your hat on backwards? Do you think
it's the world's turned around.
Hey, why don't you do the show on one knee like the catchers are now? One
he's got his
ground.
Rally cap going.
There's
so
no game.
Ahead,
so, anyways, honestly, I think 16 games is enough. But if they want to go to 17, they've got to pull a couple of those preseasons because the guys get injured. I mean, there's just natural attrition on the human body in that game. It's very fast. It's very violent. And so somehow, in other words, I wouldn't want to add games altogether. They've got to come off some preseason games. Maybe go back to two.
But they aren't. No, they're going back to three, and if they go to 18 games, they'll go to two.
Then it'll be the same.
Yeah. So the same number of games that the players are playing, except that your regular players are now going to play two more games because they're probably not playing much in the preseason. Nobody plays in the preseason.
Yeah,
anymore.
It just it makes it drives me crazy. Thanks, Lloyd. It makes
but
me
I,
crazy.
I don't understand. But I don't understand why 16 was ideal. If they can make more money, it's a business. If they can make more money with these additional games, why not do it? And let me give you one more. New England doesn't have to worry about this because they sell a season ticket package, and you're buying a package of 10 games. 8 regular season home games and 2 preseason games. That's how you buy the package. You have to buy all 10 games. With some teams out there, some franchises, they can't get people to do that because it's difficult because they don't have the attraction that they have here in New England or in Dallas and some of the other places. So now it's going to be better for those teams because people will buy regular season games that wouldn't buy preseason games because we all know preseason games are garbage now, right?
Yeah, they're not worth anything. And we talked about this before. It's, you know, teams were going through those joint practices anyways where they can actually have a controlled environment and really kind of work on those situational things that you don't get those opportunities. Like you hope you get them in a preseason game. I'm totally for it. I'm jealous, actually. Because, you know, the hard old Bear Bryant mentality, the Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick back in the day where, you know, Tom Coughlin were let's get in full pads for 3 straight weeks, 2 days with a special teams walkthrough. What a bunch of idiots. Like, no wonder everybody was always getting hurt and everybody hated it. Not only that, let's do this. Let's take everyone away from their homes and their families and bring them to some small college in the middle of nowhere and put them in a dorm. Because, yeah, that's what grown men with families want to do.
Christian, I have a question. Can we do that, like, right around 4th of July weekend, you know, when everyone's looking to get away? Can we do it then?
Let's do it during the most important part of the summer, too. Like, where the summer, it really is finally. They finally have come to their senses.
Why did the Chicago Bears vote against this? Does anybody know? Was there any reason given?
I don't know. There's got to be somebody. The only team. I don't know. That support of your players?
It's because Andy Dalton's their quarterback.
Yeah, they don't want it, they don't want another game.
Well, look at Tyler. Good Tyler, point. You should go home now. That was your best joke in a while.
That's a good one.
It's a walk-off. Hey, there's our baseball game right there.
They were the,
funny.
They were the only team. Yeah. I mean, you're sitting there going, why? Well, what was your reason?
They're getting favor with their players. See, we care about you. We care about you.
Man.
We don't want to do it either.
The Bears added game as a trip to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. You're going to vote against that?
No.
No. I think guys are pretty happy when they saw that schedule. No,
yeah, it's not the bachelor party that you think it's going to be. That's probably the worst thing you can go. Send a bunch of dudes to Las Vegas and tell them they can't hit the strip. Like, no, not the strip club, like the strip, like the
it's
Vegas
a lot different
strip.
We get it. In baseball, when you go there for 3 or 4 days.
See, that's
different story.
Oh my God.
Those guys, they live the life. When they play, like when they actually play, as long as it's not too chilly.
Well, it's usually
like
a spring training type situation or Triple A. They got a team. That's fun.
Yeah, I remember 1 year the Red Sox did it. We went out with the show. They ended the spring training in Vegas and then opened up in Anaheim. So the days you used to travel, Christian, would go and do
stuff. Yeah, now I don't want to go anywhere. It's the thing. I used to, but I don't want to go anywhere.
But don't worry, we won't
I don't
be
have
going
to.
Anywhere for a while.
No, we're not. No, we're not going anywhere. Zero.
Good news, man. We might not actually have to go to Gillette and interview Bill Belichick in person.
Ooh, see, I actually like that, though. I like that because, like, right around the corner from my house.
I thought we were getting a quarterback.
And we got Davios. We're not getting the quarterback. Okay. There's no way can you imagine what the fight would be like?
Can you imagine Wiggy giving up game?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just one time. Can we trade once? Like, hey, Cam, sleep in. And Greg and whoever the girl is that's on their show.
Yeah, we got your back just like Wiggy.
Who, Curtis?
We got your back just like Wiggy.
Go to break! Go to break!
Just go to break right now. OMF Works.
Exclusive. Ordway, Merloni, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
And then there were 4 in the worst take madness right here on OMF, and that's where we are now. So yesterday we had the big fella, Christian Fourier, against Wiggy, who has been a champion throughout the entire tournament. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, double-digit wins.
Gonzaga.
Right.
He's killing everybody.
So Wiggy, of course, had the pay Cam Newton 4 years, $100 million. And the other guy, Fourier,
had the
said,
best
they're better
take
off
of all time.
Brady.
Do not belong in the bracket, but okay.
I want you to sign him at $20, $25 million. Give him a $25 million over a few years. Here's my deal. 4 years, $100 million, $75, $80 million guaranteed money.
Sold. Now you're up.
Smokes.
Now you're up
price
to 4
tag,
years.
It went up. And
he's going to have a lifetime deal.
That fourth year is kind of like that, you know, team option. So where you can really, you know, just spread the money over them to lower that cap number. You can spread the money over 4 years.
I think that this offense is better off without him. And it has nothing to do with Brady's skill set. It's not because he's not good or he can't throw it or he's lost some speed on his fastball. It's because where he was in his career, his age, what he wanted to achieve, and what the Patriots were trying to achieve were completely different. So it was never going to work out.
Better with Stidham than Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And Wiggy's, the amazing part, as you heard in that little cut, Wiggy raised the number that week. It was the last thing he saw in that game, and he raised it up. Unfortunately, Fourier, you're a loser.
Oh.
And you are out of the tournament.
Spake me.
Wiggy moves on to the championship
I'm
game.
Telling you.
62.1%.
Wow. Wiggy.
Christian Fourier, 37.9.
Jeez.
So here we go.
It was going to take a giant like Wiggy to knock me out.
Was there any doubt that Wiggy would get to the finals?
No.
With one of them?
Yeah. He had three chances.
Yeah, three chances with one of them. You knew it was going to happen.
No question.
All right, so what we got?
Who does he face? Will it be Terry Bradshaw or will it be DJ Bean? So Terry Bradshaw, his stake was Brady is not the GOAT at all. Matter of fact, he's got a bunch of quarterbacks better than Tom.
Terry, is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? And you had some strong comments about him leaving New England. Can
you
expand on those?
Well, first of all, I don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. It's hard to say he may be the best quarterback we've had in the last 30 years. Is he better than Staubach? No. Is he better than Dan Fouts? No. Dan Marino? No. I'm talking talent-wise when you put all of it together. Does he have more Super Bowls than anybody? Yes, therefore he's the best. But Montana, is he better than Montana? Not to my opinion, no. Better than Drew Brees? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that's this a killer.
He said 30 years.
It's
how about Dan
Fouts?
Once you say Dan Fouts, it's like, come on.
You have to sit there and second guess, and when you say Drew Brees, I don't know.
Is he better than Staubach? No.
I like to get he and Greeny in the same room because Bradshaw thinks he's the greatest, but not, he's the best, but not the greatest. Greeny thinks he's the greatest.
So he's the greatest. But that said, it doesn't mean he's the best.
Right.
He may be the best quarterback we've had in the last 30 years.
But he
that is
the
amazing.
Greatest.
Isn't it amazing? It's freaking amazing.
It's that last thing that gets me that sticks with me. You know, is he better than Drew Brees?
Yeah. Maybe
he just said he
really?
Was. Is he may be the best quarterback, the
really?
Greatest, the last 30 years. And then it's like, yeah, Drew Brees, 30 years, you would include him.
Guy's had a nice career indoors, and when he goes outside, he melts. Really?
No.
Okay.
No.
So if he had him as a maybe with Drew Brees in the last 30 years, if you brought up Peyton Manning, what would his answer
be? Oh, no,
be?
Peyton's much better. Rodgers much better. Everyone's much better than him because Brees is, I don't know where you have him, but fourth in that like era type of thing?
Yeah.
Man, fourth, fifth. Whatever. Wow. I don't know where you have him.
Is he better than Dan Fouts? No.
How about Eli Manning? Is he better than Eli Manning?
Probably not.
No.
All right, so Terry Bradshaw strong worst take right there, but he takes on DJ Bean, who the week of the Super Bowl claimed that Brady sucks and that he might not even start the Super Bowl.
How is he playing? Not very well, so I think that we can drop the look what Tom Brady did with the 7-9 Bucks team because they are the reason he's in the Super Bowl right now, which, good for him. It's unbelievable that he's going to his 10th Super Bowl. Although, honestly, Bruce Arians hasn't named a starter yet, so we keep saying he's going to play in his 10th Super Bowl. Given his play the last couple of weeks, who knows who ends up starting?
Okay, I'm going to have to let my boy DJ Bean off the hook now. I'm going to have to let him off the hook.
He's gone as far as he should.
He's really kind of, this is the little engine that could with this one. We had a lot of fun with it, but there's no freaking way that Terry Bradshaw should lose this round to DJ Bean. Like 0.0 chance. Now, maybe people just want to make fun of DJ Bean and kind of, you know, stick it to him a little bit more. But you shouldn't. Because the real matchup, the marquee matchup, is Bradshaw and Wiggy. Like, that needs to be it.
That's like Baylor-Gonzaga? That's what
that
you want?
That is what you want. You want Gonzaga, which is Wiggy, in my opinion. But I tell you what, Bradshaw, surprising just amount of just, you know, ability to move up the ranks.
Fourier was like UCLA, you know, just pest, you know.
Like Oregon State.
Yeah, I would agree.
I feel like I'm more of a Beaver.
So you took down Lombardi in the first round, and then the Hall of Famer, Max Kellerman, you know, in the second round. So he's kind of gone far enough. I would say
how was he playing? Not very well.
But it was a ridiculous, frustrating take.
The problem when you're watching NBC Sports Boston, because DJ and others, sometimes they do the updates, you know, where they're giving you news. If you're watching it at that point, you're sitting there, what? Brady's not starting in the Super Bowl?
I'm DJ, an unbiased person.
Hi, I'm DJ.
I love it.
Mutt thought that Brady was out of the Super Bowl because he got bit. Remember that?
So he should lose. You should vote Bradshaw because we need Wiggy or Bradshaw.
Wiggy versus DJ would be fine.
Now, because that would be a
sway the list.
That would be a blowout.
Let the people vote.
That would be a blowout.
Let the people vote.
Vote for Bradshaw.
So Terry Bradshaw against DJ Bean. You go to our Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Vote early. Vote often. We move on to the championship. That will be Monday, as we're not on tomorrow. So actually, we're going to be on after the game, but we're not going to have time to do this. We'll obviously be breaking down, dissecting, and analyzing Game 1 opening day for the Red Sox. So Monday we will have the championship, and let's see who will take on the one and own Wiggy. There you go. There's OMF.
Nice.
Worst Take Madness coming up next. Big deal or no big deal. It's a lifestyle, and we got it for you today.
Now, more deep thoughts with Christian Fourier.
The more you hang around, the more you believe
you write that
you
down.
Can hang around.
OMF is on EEI.
You got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
You know, I love Draymond Green. I mean, he's kind of like a modern version of Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
He just says whatever the hell he wants, and sometimes he gets himself in hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night after he was asked, I don't know if he was even asked about this, but he actually went into a small little rant about how against female athletes and how much they were complaining and how the complaining wasn't really going to help them.
I'm really tired of seeing them complain about the lack of pay because they're doing themselves a disservice by just complaining.
They're not just complaining, really.
But they are, because they're not laying out steps that they can take to change that. And so it's coming off as a complaint because the people that can change it, they're just going to continue to say, well, the revenue isn't there. The revenue isn't there. So if you don't bring in the revenue, we can't up your pay. They're going to keep using that.
Okay, so Glenn, I'll start with you. Draymond Green doesn't want women to be complaining anymore. So, like, people like Megan Rapinoe, stop bitching and complaining. Do your job. Big deal or no big deal?
It's a big deal because most people would shy away from even answering the question, or they'd give you the politically correct answer. And he's right. You know, they're complaining about it, but what's the solution? So in society right now, and let's look at the NBA versus the WNBA. The WNBA, most of those players are paid under $100,000 a year. Why? Because they don't have as many fans. There's no money there coming in. So in the NBA, guys are getting paid $40 million a year. Why? Because there's all sorts of money coming in for TV and tickets and everything else. So he's right. Come up with a solution. How can you raise the marketing of the game so that you can increase the TV contracts and increase the price of tickets because more people want to go to the games, and then there's a bigger pot to share?
See, I agree with all that, but I just don't think it's that big of a deal what he said. I know people want to just look at a headline saying he's criticizing women for complaining, but he gets into it, you know, and he tweeted about it, and this was more of like explaining his tweets from March 27th, so 2 or 3 days ago. He says they're going to, you know, like he said, they're going to continue to point to revenue because You don't bring enough revenue in. He's like, so do something about it. He talks about how the NBA wasn't a global game that it is today, and it was all driving as much revenue as it was today. He's like, but there are people behind it, building the platform, he tweeted. More importantly, telling individual stories, building interest in players. That's how the game took off. So he says, who's building up your platform? You know, who's telling the individual stories how great you guys are? Build the interest. Transform women's basketball into a global game. So I think it's being taken as like him just ripping women, but he's more of like, you're going about it the wrong way.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Increase revenue, you know, and if you can do that, then you'll get paid. So how do you increase revenue? But I just think his comments have been sort of taken publicly as telling women to stop complaining.
Well,
he's trying to give them answers.
But you know why? It's the climate we're in right now. People don't want to listen to exactly what he's saying, the specifics of what he's saying. He's sitting, but right now you can't complain about women. You can't do this. That's what he's saying.
Well, see, you're right, because I'm going to give you his explanation. Like, Lou, you were just kind of alluding to it. So the headline is NBA star Draymond Green attacks female athletes.
Right.
That's the headline.
Fighting for equal pay.
Right.
And then it says, quote, I'm really tired of seeing them complain. Here's what he meant.
But the reality is, as true as that is, it's an excuse. Because everyone says, we support women. We support women empowerment. We support women in the workplace. We do this for women. We do X for women, blah, blah, blah. And everyone uses it to their advantage. Yet these women are not using these people that are saying those very things to their advantage. So then it just becomes a complaint that falls on deaf ears.
So here's what happened. See, there was, what happened was a lot of like female reporters from the Bay Area took that comment and just ran with it. And you know, they would take the comments and the small piece and they would at mention Sue Bird.
Blah, yeah. Blah, blah.
They would at mention Megan Rapinoe. And so they responded without hearing everything. Because to me, when I hear from him, it's like, listen, I'm on your side. Like, but you got to empower yourself. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's just not going to be given to you.
It's action. Yeah.
Yeah, it's action. So you got to do something.
What can you do? Figure it out.
If they could increase the viability and the visibility of their leagues, and they could raise more money and the revenue increases, they're going to make more money, right? What he's saying is they instantly just want the same amount of money that men are getting, and yet that revenue is nowhere close to being the same.
Yeah, a gold star as far as a clickbait awards, that one gets it.
Yeah.
All right, so we all know that the NFL, Roger Goodell came out and talked about, you know, full capacity at all these stadiums. So the Washington Post surveyed Americans on going back to sporting events. And there was a bunch of questions, but one of them was, would you feel comfortable attending a sporting event at this time? And so there's a certain one, like overall percent who feel comfortable attending a ticketed sporting event, for example. That was 42%. Another one was, would you wear a mask, you know, if it was required? 64%. But the one that stands out to me, it says overall percent who would feel comfortable attending a sporting event with if you were vaccinated. So if you were vaccinated, would you go to a sporting event? And that number was 64%. The one that I think Lou likes is that if all attendees received a vaccination and you were able to go to a full capacity sporting event, the answer was 69%. Only 69% of people felt comfortable attending a sporting event if everybody was vaccinated.
Like I don't, you got to help me. That's a big deal, because those 31% of the people, that if the entire stadium, including yourself, was vaccinated, why wouldn't you go to an event? What are you waiting for? Now, you have to ask, maybe that 31% is like, I don't go to events. You know, I have no idea. But what are we waiting for? If you've been vaccinated, 64%. So you are vaccinated. Why wouldn't you go to an event? If everyone there... I mean, everybody keeps talking about the goals to everybody to take a vaccine, herd immunity. So if we reach that point and 31% are still sitting there saying, nope, I don't feel safe, what are we doing?
You know what it says to me, Lou, and I'll let you go next, Glenn, is that the residual effect of the fear that was instilled in people over the last year is going to take a long time for people to get over, even though they are. Every single person is vaccinated.
Yeah, and you still don't
You're
go.
Still wearing a mask, and you still say, no, I don't. It's like, it's now it's safe. Like the opposite.
Yeah, it's not safe.
What do you got, Glenn? Big deal, no big deal.
You just said it is a big deal. This is going to take a long, long time. These numbers are really low, I think. If you're talking about overall percentage of people who feel comfortable attending a sporting event, it's only 42%. And by the way, when you get into it a little bit deeper, it really breaks down into political lines. I think it's in the 20 percentile for Democrats, and it's much higher for Republicans. So we're really, it's Texas, Florida. We're kind of seeing the way it's done out there. But I don't understand it. When everybody gets a vaccine out there, why would you have to wear a mask from that point on? Now, I think there's some stuff that's going on. My wife has had a really bad reaction to the vaccine, but hopefully in a few weeks she gets the second one. She's going to be fine and get through it. But why, once your vaccine, you get the vaccination, what is the problem? Well, you like can't spread it to anybody.
I would just ask those 31%, like, when do you expect to kind of get back to the real world?
I think
if
it's...
If you're in a stadium and everybody's vaccinated?
Well, you see in the president.
What are you worried about?
You see in the president. You see in Biden right now, who's gone through the two vaccination shots, and he's still walking around wearing a mask. So I think they're doing it
for more TV.
They're doing it for a specific reason. Christian's right. They're continuing the fear. I mean, you've got Fauci saying we're going to wear masks for the next 2 years.
Well, you mentioned Biden, so I might as well throw this in there because he was actually ripping the state of Texas and the Rangers for having full capacity.
Governor Greg Abbott lifted the mask mandate in his state, allowing businesses to operate at full capacity. So the Texas Rangers say there will not be any attendance restrictions in their stadium this season. That means it could be filled to capacity, Mr. President, 40,000 people with masks required except when actively eating and drinking. What are your thoughts on the Rangers' decision?
Well, that's a decision they made. I think it's a mistake. They should listen to Dr. Fauci and the scientists and the experts. I think it's not responsible.
Okay, so no one's
Who's
ever going to be on
wrong
this,
than Dr. Fauci.
I mean,
maybe Charlie Castle.
Exactly. So okay, so president of baseball ops for the Rangers, John Daniels, actually responded to that comment.
First, I have a ton of respect for the office of the president and for President Biden himself, and not really surprised to see that. I'm hopeful that with vaccine rollout, with mask requirements at the park and some level of distancing, obviously with a full crowd, you're not going to have, full distancing there. I'm hopeful that provides some level of security, kind of safety from a public health standpoint. But I think it's a one-time event. I think after opening day, reality is we're not going to be at full capacity. I doubt it.
Okay, so here's how you're going to get to 100%. And then I'll get to the last one, and Lou, you're going to be up first.
All right.
So if you have all attendees receive the vaccine, and you also use other considerations like attendees were screened for fevers, attendees also show that they tested negative for the virus, and then their regional COVID cases are low. Do you think then you would be at 100%?
Yeah, you should be.
I say no. I still think there's just they just don't believe it, and it doesn't matter how much proof you give them.
The Biden administration is already talking about vaccination passports.
When is
that you're
going to
need them to get everywhere? And you're still going to wear the mask. Masks are not going away for a while, guys.
Yeah, and you know what? Totally fine with it. Don't even care anymore. Last one before we get to our next topic, and it's the floor is yours, Glenn. Lou, for you, Francisco Lindor and the Mets agreed to a 10-year, I thought I was reading this wrong. $341 million deal. Shortstops are starting to get a lot of money. Big deal, no big deal.
Well, it's a big deal because of your guy, Xander Bogaerts. You know, Tatis got his deal. Lindor's got his deal. There's plenty of other guys out there. Story, Correa, I don't think he's going to get that much money. I think Bogaerts better than him anyways. But Story, Baez, I mean, there is a lot of shortstops. And the market is set. And you're going to have a shortstop here that can back out in a couple of years. You have a pretty good idea of what it's going to cost. And you can only hope that he kind of gives you some kind of a deal that he gave you last time. But it's a big deal because now you know what the ballpark is.
So Xander's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, sit back.
Well, remember, we asked him that question about that. And, he's kind of playing it, the high road. But at the end of 2022, he can walk. They can't allow that to happen. So they probably have to start talking to him at least by the end of this season, right, Lou? They have to talk to him about it. And you're right. They're going to be four or five guys that are going to be making.
Baez. Oh, I forgot Corey Seager's another one. Trevor Story. Yep. Like, those three guys are going to get paid. I saw that Correa turned down 5 and 100 or something like that. I don't know why he would sign that.
No.
But, yeah, so it's sort of sets a bar.
So he's number two right now behind Lindor. Xander is. But you're right. That's not going to last long. By the end of this season, they have to sit down and figure it out with him. Big deal.
All there right. you go.
Is this a big deal?
What's that?
I just saw this from Albert Breer. Yep. Bert Breer's mailbag. This is from Anthony. Asked him the question. Little mailbag. What is the compensation the Niners are looking for in a Jimmy G trade? This is the answer. Anthony, I was told that, yes, it would take a first-round pick for the Niners to listen at this point, which, of course, would be nice for San Francisco to have it after it yielded its first in 2022 and 23 to jump from number 12 to number 3. That, of course, is subject to change. Well, of course, they're looking for a first-round draft pick right now, but doesn't that all change when Jimmy Garoppolo shows up at camp? Maybe Mac Jones shows up in camp as their draft pick, and they watch and see what Mac Jones can do, and they watch how the byplay works with Jimmy Garoppolo. At that point, maybe you have to make a decision. So I keep on seeing people tell me, well, you're going to have to give up a first-round draft pick. Yeah, if you're stupid enough to deal with the 49ers right now for Jimmy Garoppolo. But why would you do that? There's no reason to do that. Wait it out. Maybe Mac Jones excites them so much they're sitting there going, oh, we got to move Garoppolo right now. Get him out of here.
But the question I have is, like, so right now, first-round pick, I don't know, that's what Breer's been told. You don't go from wanting a first-round pick to your scenario of releasing him. You know what I mean? So now you are talking about a trade. Now you are talking about giving up assets. Now you are talking about, you know, if not restructuring, taking that contract on. And if you are structuring, it's you know, you're going to extend it, right? I mean, you don't restructure it most likely and say, well, we're going to give you one more year. We're going to trade for you. You'd probably say, no, I'd rather make $26 million. Pay me. So I just don't think they go from wanting a first-round pick to releasing them, allowing you to just pick this guy up.
Listen, I think you're going to hear a story somewhere down the road in which they go to Jimmy Garoppolo and ask him to redo his deal, similar to what the Raiders asked Marcus Mariota. Why would Jimmy G do that when he's got 2 years left on the deal, $26 million a year? Why would he do that deal?
Yeah, but the thing also is that there's just, like, as of right now, I do think there could be a serious opportunity later on in the year for this to come into play. Mm-hmm. Because release or trade? Well, I guess it depends on who you're working with. It depends on who you're working with. If you're working with the Patriots, a team that you know and that is willing to kind of go into it, then he knows that he's going to be cut at the end of camp where there's no jobs available, then I do think it would be a different situation. I think it'd be more apt to listen. The best thing that for Jimmy Garoppolo is whoever the rookie is either, and I say this just, you know, he's either to get slowed by injury so they can't evaluate his development truly, right, in real time. Or for him to just go out and go, wow, this guy is healthy, he's strong, he's pinpoint. And then you got to get some of that Cam Newton effect. You need to, well, it's a real thing now, right? We've all admitted it. That Cam Newton effect is the whole, the team won't allow it.
One pick,
the team won't
one
stand
one
for
pick.
It.
One pick, one pick,
yeah,
one
so he needs to come up with his own thing. One stripper, one porn star, one this. It has to be something like that. Like something to do with porn stars and, you know, big booties and, you know, and Aladdin. Something to that effect. But I'm telling you, it is worth paying attention to because in the end, I just don't think it's going to happen. Not because I don't think that Jimmy won't be moved. I just feel like whoever the rookie is that comes in won't be able to win the job.
Well, that may very well happen, you know, and that they bring him in, especially when you're, again, we're going to be suppressed in how many live practices you have because they're already talking about everything being done on Zoom and whatever early on. So you might be right. It might be the slow process again.
Yeah.
On the other hand, suppose he does excite Shanahan in those meetings and Shanahan thinks he can do something.
Oh, Mac Jones will shine.
And Jimmy G's being a pain in the ass and he's sulking. Who knows what happens? He knows. He sees the handwriting on the wall. Shanahan's already publicly admitted that Garoppolo was pissed.
That's publicly admitting it. You can imagine what it's like behind closed doors.
There's no surprise. I mean, no, Aaron Rodgers but was some irritated. Brett Favre.
Some people deal with it well, and others don't deal with it well. And I don't know how he's going to deal with it. Especially if he's hearing that there are other opportunities
When you say deal with it, explain that to me a little bit. Do you mean, will he sulk? Will he feel sorry for himself, will he kind of get after it?
I don't know the kid, so I can't tell you, but I'm telling you that some people do that, and they handle it the
wrong way. Are these people
way.
Between the lines that do this?
Are people between the lines telling me this?
Is it between the lines
not
people
sure.
They're telling
that,
me this.
That actually Gilson do that? Might. But he might hear that stuff out of New England. That they want him. The one thing that everybody talks about with San Francisco is they do have enough money to keep him around this year. On the other hand, next year is where they need money with a lot of players.
They're fine.
A lot of players. And that's where they're going to really have to, and they could change some of that trying to do these guys early and
save,
get roster bonuses.
They can
bonuses.
Keep Jimmy this year. They could cut him next year and save $24 million. And the cap's going to go up how much? You know, another 30, whatever?
Not next year, it won't. The year after, it will.
Oh, I mean, next year it'll go up a little bit. I think we're beyond the fact. I think we have to, the whole, teams can't afford these players because they're concerned about free agency. We wasted so much time looking at how much, how many teams are in cap hell, given that the new payroll was. Now, the Patriots, sure, they had a ton of money to spend. But the Saints, they were over the cap, $105,000?
Well, everybody's doing voidable year contracts. That's what they're doing.
So what,
they worked around it.
Oh, you can't do that next year?
No, you could do that next year as well. You could
do voidable contracts.
Especially
knowing if the TV deal comes into play in 23. I think you got to get off the whole, they need the money to sign the free agents because they'll be able to do it easily. Everyone has. And they'll do it, they'll push it to 2023 if they have to. It's not really a concern. And by dropping Jimmy next year, you save $24 million on the cap. Easy.
Suppose he gets injured this year.
Well, it's always a concern.
Still fine.
It's always a concern. but this is, so.
Injury
and nobody's letting this go. Nobody's letting this story go. I mean, it'll play out to the end of the season. And if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I actually want this to happen. I want to leave. I want to get out of here. Because his
odds. That's the point I'm making, that I think he might sulk, and he might not do it publicly. Well, he might not do it publicly, so you may not hear anything. He may take the high road and sit there and say, I'm here to compete.
Got to be good at that.
All right.
It's key to be good at that.
Okay, and say all those things. But in reality, when real practice starts and he sees that they're seeing a lot from Mac Jones, you don't think that's going to affect him in some way? And, again, do you want to have an unhappy camper starting the season?
Listen, I will say this. He plays well in the preseason. He starts. The rookie would have to play so well, and it would have to be so obvious, and then Jimmy Garoppolo would also have to play like crap. He would have to play like crap, and I don't think that's going to happen.
If Jimmy's healthy, Sobbins, he plays.
Yeah.
He plays.
So here's the other thing we don't know. It could be that they love Mac Jones.
Oh, no, here we go. They love Mac Jones.
And he could be a stiff.
I'm hearing they love Mac Jones also.
He could show up, and the first thing they start telling each other is, you got to be kidding me. How many first-round draft picks did we give up for this kid? What the hell were we doing? It could be a colossal mess with Kyle Shanahan. All right, it was supposed to be a baseball game today. You probably heard. There's no baseball game today, though it's still not raining. So we've been on the air. Since 2 o'clock, the game was supposed to begin at 2:10. The Yankees and the Blue Jays are in the 10th inning right now. It is 3-2, by the way.
The key is, I think what we've learned more than anything, we've already learned it. It's been confirmed that baseball players.
Soft.
Yeah. Well, they're soft. Who's even softer?
It might melt.
Management. Management is softer.
Yeah. Baseball players didn't cancel this game. I mean, they didn't cancel the game. This was higher ups. You heard Sam Kennedy this morning. So, hey, at 2 o'clock.
The sun could come out at 2 o'clock, and then we'll look like idiots. So we're fully prepared for that as well.
But the problem is, did they think it was going to rain? Everybody and their brother looked at it and said, okay, it's not raining now. And if there is some rain, it's going to stop by 2. Did they have a separate radar? Because everybody sat there and said, yeah, we're good.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think there was something else involved? I feel like it's so uncharacteristic, isn't it, though?
No, baseball, you play.
You play. But you don't want to, as a player, you don't want to waste it.
Hold on. What could it possibly be? Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know.
Let me guess. Oh, if we delay it one day, that's one day earlier we get E-Rod back. What are we talking about?
That's because it's a billion off day.
I'm laughing about that. There's nothing.
No, I don't know what it is.
Every hourly forecast we looked at showed that the rain was going to end at 1 o'clock. It ended well before 1 o'clock.
It ended at 9.
Yeah. And there's been nothing out there since. And so right now, you would be 3 hours into this game.
See,
right?
And the thing, too, is like it doesn't make any sense. When you look at their schedule, they have like, I think now, they have like one day off in the next like 20 games or something. Like, it's ridiculous. There aren't any days off. I think they have an off day this week and the off day somewhere next week or something like that. So now what you've done is, you know, just bullpen. I mean, you go out there today with Evaldi, he gives you four strong. I don't know, five, hopefully, you know, with the way he is sometimes. And then you can use your bullpen. You got an off day and you're ready to go for the weekend.
Yeah, we're going
to
find out.
Now you've just like, you know, it just makes no sense. They always play. They always play. You always have a day off after opening day. But you don't get to choose which one you want to play on. If you have to play opening day, or you can, you do it.
I mentioned the other day, I was fearful that they were going to look at Friday and say, well, it's not supposed to rain on Friday, but it's supposed to be real cold. And I didn't realize that they would call it this early.
I blame Levin Reed.
This early?
It really is. Levin really kind of over-exaggerated how bad it was. You know that one reporter that, remember when there was the hurricanes? And down in Florida, and the reporter was doing an on-air hit, and he was like holding on to his hat, and you know the wind was blowing, and he was like acting like he was being blown away.
That
and then in the background,
in
the background were like two dudes that were like pulling a boat, just walking along like it was no big deal. They're overselling.
Oh, again, that's a twofer. That's a twofer, baby. Yes.
So with exaggeration, with this like. Whatever you want to call it, rain out without rain, and a game tomorrow. That's they have 23 games in 24 days.
That's not good.
We're going to find out how tough they are.
To start the year.
Find out about that bullpen, because these starters aren't going deep in these games.
I mean, 23 games in 24 days.
And Eduardo can't pitch until, I think, a week from today, if his retroactive IL was the 29th.
I don't know. Made no sense. Makes no sense.
And the Red Sox have had a reputation of doing just the opposite, of waiting until everybody, all 37,000, show up at the ballpark, sell them a hot dog and a beer, and then a half an hour later saying, oh, sorry, canceled, we're postponing it.
So,
and today, they did it so well in advance, you're sitting there going, why? Why would you do it?
Well, okay, so maybe blame it on the weather, man. Let's get the weather report now for tomorrow. Ryan,
no,
do you have the weather report?
No, I woke up.
Sunny and cold.
Fox said game should be fine.
Temperatures in the mid-40s.
Yep. My girl Shiri said that the game, we're going to be good by the time the game time rolls around.
Well, let's see what the weatherman says.
Weather. Well, here in Boston, sunny but cold. Temperatures peaking in the 90s.
No, thanks, man.
Peaking in the 90s.
No. I heard it was going to be fine. I don't know what they were looking at.
We're going to try to figure out why this game was postponed, but they're going to play it tomorrow afternoon. This hour of OMF has been brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, locations at Dedham, next to the Legacy Place, and in Salem, New Hampshire, and online at northeastmenshealth.com. Another hour to go right here on OMF.
The sun could come out at 2 o'clock, and then we'll look like idiots, so we're fully prepared for that as well.